You're listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, cooking up all the hot takes. Jump in and join us at 609-919-9200. Download our app at sportskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for Sports Skillet. And remember to show us some love, like, follow, and share.
Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved.
If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly.
Delicious.
They don't just stir the pot.
They add more flavor than the other guys.
Yum, yum, yum.
Get ready to dig in and taste some Sports Skillet.
You know what I'm tasting? No, I taste victory.
The Sports Skillet Radio Show starts now.
And welcome, everybody, to the Sports Go Radio Show on this Sunday morning in, I don't want to say early October, it's getting into mid-October now. That is October 11th, 2020. We thank you for joining us, no matter how you may be listening. We've got a tremendous show on tap. We've got Shane McGowan. We've got Ethan Charlop, who should be joining us. Ethan, of course, is... a veteran of the Sports Go Radio Show, let's say, and one of the original members, and we look forward to chatting with him as the Eagles take on his Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll hopefully have a good conversation with Ethan. And we've got, you know, a confluence of sports today. We've got NFL. We've got the NBA Game 6 after a phenomenal Game 5. I mean, that was just tremendous between Butler and LeBron James, going back and forth in that fourth quarter, going bucket for bucket. We'll see if they can duplicate, which was a phenomenal Game 5. We'll see if, you know, the Heat can obviously force a Game 7 tonight. So you've got the NBA on tap. And, of course, Major League Baseball will have the American League Championship Series. The Yankees took a pass, obviously. They lost in Game 5. To their rivals, the Tampa Bay Rays, as the Rays moved on, and they will take on the cheater Astros. We all know about the history with the Astros, and the Astros trying to get to another World Series. And wouldn't it be something to see the Astros play the Dodgers in the World Series? No love lost between those two teams, but the Astros have some work to do against Tampa, and of course the Dodgers have a lot of work to do against those Atlanta Braves. So a lot going on today as far as the sporting world, as, you know, we're in October, believe it or not, and we've got, you know, three sports. It's a rare Sunday where you've got three sports obviously going on here, including the NBA. So I guess we'll kick it off, Jay, talking a little NBA here before we get into the NFL, before we get in with Ethan coming up here in a couple of minutes.
He's on the phone line now, Jeff.
He's on the phone line now. Let's bring him on.
Eth, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Ethan, how you doing? We're doing well. Ethan, let's get into your Pittsburgh Steelers here for a second. You've got to be happy with the way Ben Roethlisberger has come out this season and how that team has sort of responded in the early part of this season. And now you get a team, obviously, that you should be able to handle in the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, definitely, yes. Yeah. Ben has come back, and it's looked about as good as anybody can hope. You know, he's come back. He's looking like he did a few years ago. His arm's looking great. He's making all the throws. The defense is, you know, almost unstoppable. You got one of the best pass rushers in the league in T.J. Watt, one of the most underrated slot corners in the league, and Mike Hilton. And now we're taking on the Eagles, where, you know, your starting quarterback gets booed at home in an empty stadium. So I'm feeling pretty good about this weekend.
And you got fans in the stands, so that should be nice for Steelers to actually see some fans. Not a fully packed stadium, obviously, but you do have fans in the stands, so that should make a little bit of a difference that you get some of that home field advantage kind of back going on here for the Steelers, and that should help out your defense all the more.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the whole thing about Heinz Field. That's how you get that advantage. The crowd in that place when it's at capacity is absolutely insane. And obviously, you're not going to have anywhere near capacity today or this weekend. But, you know, doing pretty well. They're going to get some people there. It's going to help out. It's going to give, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, it's going to feel a little bit more like an actual game as opposed to playing in those empty stadiums, and that always helps out the Steelers. So I'm feeling good about it.
You think the defense can get after Carson Wentz? I mean, my 49ers obviously tried to do it a little bit, and, you know, obviously we were banged up. We still almost pulled out the game, by the way, against those Eagles, even as banged up as my 49ers were. But still, you've got to get some pressure on Carson Wentz and not allow him to get out of that pocket and make some of those throws.
Oh, definitely. I think we're going to be getting pressure all day. I think they're going to rack up at least a couple of sacks. I mean, like I said, T.J. Watt, one of the best pass rushers in the league. Then you got guys like Bud Dupree, Cam Hayward, Vince Williams, an off-ball linebacker who's also just incredible at getting in the backfield. We got plenty of guys that can bring some pressure, and I'm not too worried about it.
You know, your dad always seemed to think about, you know, the Steelers kind of tanking one of these years just so they could get a high pick. It just seems like the Steelers just keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up, and in that division, you know, it's definitely a winnable division for those Steelers at this point.
Yeah, you know, and I've also been on that bandwagon at different times saying that we should tank. You know, theoretically, this might be a year that you could argue there are a couple of good quarterbacks that are going to be on the board next year. And you know, the team's eventually got to start looking for the post-Ben years. But right now they're playing really well. They have a good shot at the division, even with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They're playing really well. You know, they're playoff bound one way or another this season. So I think tanking is a little bit out of the question at the moment.
So, Jay, how you feeling about this game? You know, I mean, are you kind of you got a bonus win against the 49ers that had to help you out. You're in first place, obviously, in that wretched division. I mean, the NFC least, but there you go. So you got the win there. So now, you know, do you have any confidence at all that the Eagles are going to be able to pull out this game?
Well, for the Eagles to pull it out, it's going to be won by the defense. They got to get pressure on Ben Roethlisberger. They got to force him into rushing his throws, being off target, maybe sacking him a couple of times. That's going to be the key to me in this game. And also, how well will Jordan Mailata hold up against the Steelers' pass rush? You got T.J. Watt going up against Lane Johnson in a very good matchup. That's going to be one to watch. Will Lane Johnson, he had a cyst drain from his ankle this past week, so he seems to be feeling a little better. But still, how is he going to hold up against T.J. Watt? And then you look at the Eagles wide receivers. Again, you're talking about a lot of rookies in there, a lot of guys called up from the practice squad. You got Hightower. Quez is going to be activated for this game, so we'll see what kind of speed he brings to the Eagles lineup. That's going to be a key. Carson Wentz has had a week to practice with some of these younger receivers to kind of get in rhythm with them, so we'll see how that ends up holding up. And, you know, you go into it, and yes, the Steelers have probably the healthier lineup. You look at the Steelers having a veteran lineup, and it's going to be a tough game. I think the Eagles can hopefully hang with the Steelers, but we'll see how good the Eagles pass rush is in disrupting Ben Roethlisberger today. And that's going to be one of the keys to look out for.
Yeah, I would agree with that in terms of trying to get Roethlisberger, you know, off of his game. But I think that's easier said than done when you look at how well he's started out this season. I mean, he is really looking great. And it is a little surprising to me, coming off, obviously, of the injury, that he's bounced back as well as he has so far. But he really looks really good. And that offensive line has obviously given him some protection to make the throws and be able to get. And also, obviously, the running game for Pittsburgh hasn't been that bad. So, you know, obviously the Steelers are 3-0. They deserve to be 3-0. And now they get, in my opinion, I mean, the 49ers should have won the game. But, you know, what are you going to do in a game where you have, you know, backup quarterbacks in the game and you're as banged up as the Eagles? But no excuses. We just, you know, and you got to watch. One thing I'm going to say, Ethan, is you got to watch in this game, you know, that head coach for the Eagles is a sneaky guy because, you know, in the 49er game last week, everybody kind of scratched their head when he went for that 2-point conversion in the first quarter. And that turned out to be a huge, huge play as the game went on because that forced the 49ers to go for two instead of kicking a game-tying field goal late in the fourth quarter and possibly going to overtime as the math kind of worked out. So you got to watch out for this coach. You don't know about Jalen Hurts either. You know, he'll probably throw Jalen Hurts out there for a couple of plays and see what he has. So, you know, you got to watch what this coach has up his sleeve there, Ethan.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's Doug Peterson is definitely the most the scariest part of the Eagles. He's just he's a brilliant football mind. And if he had a better roster, I'd be a little bit more scared right now.
Well, so Jay, he threw out the gauntlet right to you there in terms of your roster, in terms of what you have, in terms of what you're putting out there. There is a talent discrepancy between these two clubs going into today. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the Eagles are still banged up, waiting to get back into the lineup. I'm definitely willing to admit that. Absolutely. Ethan, while we still have you here, I want to talk a little bit about the Mets with you real quick. Mets are going to have a new owner. What are your thoughts on Steve Cohen coming in?
I could not be more excited. I have been waiting for the Wilpons to be out of the Mets organization for years. My father and I have been outspoken for our dislike of the Wilpons. You could probably hear us on TV when we were at Citi Field yelling about them. I could not be more excited to have a new owner. And, you know, Steve Cohen's a shifty, shady dude, but he's got a lot of money and he wants to win. And that's what you need when you're in sports. You need a lot of money and the desire to win. I'm happy that we finally have an owner who's driven, goal-oriented, actually wants to see us raise a trophy rather than just put some extra money in his pocket.
I would agree with you on that, Ethan. When you look at the New York Mets right now, what their issues have been, it's really been about spending money over the last, you know, many years in terms of what they've given out or the contracts they've given out in terms of, you know, some of these bad contracts that they put out there as well. But I think Steve Cohen is going to be a breath of fresh air for that organization. And we'll see if they go out there and you know, how active they are in free agency. Agency. Obviously, there's a big catcher that's going to be out there that everybody is aware of in JT Realmuto. So we'll see if, you know, the Mets make a big play for him. That would be an interesting move. It would be a good, step in the right direction to show the fan base, hey, you know, we're out there, we're willing to spend money, and we're in it to win it.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, like I said, I really love the move. I'd love to see them bring in JT Realmuto.
I would not.
I wonder why. But that'd be great to see him come over and play for the Mets. We've been in need of a catcher for a few years now. So that'd be a great pickup. And, you know, I'm really excited. We have a few different holes. You know, we could always use more pitching. The outfield, we have a lot of talent, but it's always kind of just been an absolute mess. So I'm excited to see what happens this free agency. I want to see if they're finally going to throw around a little money. Hopefully Cohen just goes all for it right away and, you know, doesn't beat around the bush waiting a year or two. It's going to be exciting to see how it plays out this offseason, though.
And we have Joe Polillo here. Joe, you know, you're a Yankee fan, and I think there could be kind of a bidding war here for JT Realmuto here because, you know, the Yankees, you know, could possibly, you know, use a catcher. maybe, you know, based upon, you know, what's going on with the catching situation with the Yankees. So, you know, JT could obviously, you know, try and pit the two New York teams against each other here.
You know, when I thought about the idea in the middle of the season, I didn't think it was a possibility because I was like, I'll give Gary Sanchez a little more time. He just it's a shortened season. He needs to get into it. But after what I saw, and especially them just not having any trust in him in the playoffs, they start Kyle Higashioka, who played fantastically behind the plate, and he was very serviceable hitting-wise. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to going out and getting Real Muto. Like, Gary Sanchez just hasn't shown anything. Ever that 2017 year where he went absolutely off, and he had another good season after that. You know, he just can't seem to hit a baseball.
And his defense is...
His framing did get better this year. But his defense overall, awful. You saw in the playoffs, Kyle Higashioka was the much more reliable catcher down the line. And defensively, he saved a lot of runs. And I would say go with him, but he is 30 years old. Like, I mean, Real Muto is a little older, but he's the best catcher in the MLB. So, you know, with the money they have, you know, why not go out to get him? And, you know, it seems the spending money thing doesn't really work for isn't working for the Yankees lately, because obviously they can't get to a World Series. They haven't gotten to one since 2009. So maybe Real Muto would help them get to that. They're a better hitting catcher and a better defensive catcher. So I would not be opposed to that.
But it's a telling thing when your ace of your pitching staff and Garrett Cole wants, you know, the backup. Well, I don't know if you call him the backup at this point, but wants him over Sanchez at this point. So yeah. That's very telling when you look at a game five and who does Garrett Cole want behind the plate.
Yeah, and especially towards the end of the season, Garrett Cole did, even if Gary Sanchez was the catcher, Garrett Cole said that he wanted Higashioka to be like his personal catcher. And you're right, that does say something. Your starting catcher should be able to work with someone. The personal catcher should be for like knuckleballers or something like that. Not, you know, your ace starting pitcher should be able to work with anyone. And I think Gary Sanchez just needs to go.
And then you obviously look, Ethan, at the New York Mets, and you look at some of the players that they have, some of these phenomenal players, young players that the Mets have. Gayfin, we talked about the ownership, but what were your thoughts on this kind of uneven season that the Mets had in their manager? You like the manager still?
You know, I honestly, to be completely honest, gave up on the season after about a month. I was like, you know what? It is what it is. I watch games every now and then. I still like him. I think we need to give him a little bit more time. He's dealing with a team that I will say has an uneven talent level, and a team that has for years struggled to figure out how to properly use the talent that they have. I don't think 1 year, especially in New York with the Mets, is enough to really give you a true look as to whether or not a guy is going to be a great manager. So I think we got to give Rojas one more season to see how that goes, you know, be able to develop some of the young talent on that team a little bit more. Andre Jimenez just came up. I think he's going to be a big part of the Mets' future. I really like him, a good contact hitting middle infielder. So, you know, I still like him. I'm not ready to give up. I think give him one more season, see how it goes next year, and then we can make that call.
And then, of course, you got your pitching staff, and you'll probably be happy to get Syndergaard back, obviously, and get him back throwing and add him to DeGrom. You know, that was really part of the problem for the Mets this year was just, you know, their starting pitching got decimated. I think that was one of the main issues that happened to the Mets going into this shortened season was, you know, their pitching just collapsed on them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's been the Mets for the past 5 years, hasn't it? We always have, you know, going into the season, one of the most talented pitching rotations, and then half of them get hurt right away, so it doesn't even matter at the end of the day. Getting Syndergaard back is always exciting. Personally, one of my favorites, a big fan of Thor. I'm still personally waiting for him to have that year that I thought he was going to have. I thought he was going to have that Cy Young-type year a couple years ago. It doesn't look like that's going to happen anymore, but he's still an amazing pitcher, a great guy to have in that rotation. You know, the other thing we got to do is we really got to build up that bullpen. You know, we have a history of getting these guys who immediately fall off as soon as they put on a Mets jersey and are blowing saves and blowing holes left and right. So that's really going to be where we need to put most of our improvements, in my opinion. We need to make sure the bullpen is locked down. And, you know, to do that, maybe that means we add to the starting rotation. Maybe we add another starting pitcher so Seth Lugo can become our full-time closer, reliever, whatever, and make sure we have somebody reliable out there. But they got to make sure the bullpen can do their job just a little bit better if we want to win with any sort of consistency.
And any concern for Pete Alonso? Obviously, he came off that huge year, and then this year kind of fell off the table. You know, what are your thoughts on Pete Alonso?
I'm glad that Pete Alonso had his sophomore slump during a shortened season that, in the grand scheme of things, in my opinion, doesn't really matter because the team was awful to begin with, and we kind of just punted on it, the whole new owner and everything. So this year has all kind of just been a wash for me anyway. So Pete Alonso having his sophomore slump, this was the perfect time for it. I think he's going to come back next year, give him a month to get back into shape, and he's going to be back to mashing homers. I'm not too worried about him at the moment.
All right. So, Ethan, I had a question for you. The question is, you're a big Mets fan. You come from Brooklyn, that area of New York. How is it that you are a Mets fan and a Steelers fan?
So this goes back a long way. It goes past my father to my uncle. He started watching sports on his own in the early 70s. You know, the Mets had just come off the 69 World Series. We were just at the beginning of the Steel Curtain winning all their Super Bowls. So my uncle became a big Mets and Steelers fan. And then when my dad got old enough to start watching sports, he had two options. He could be a Mets and Steelers fan, or his brother could beat him up every time they were playing. I had a less drastic choice. I could be a Mets and a Steelers fan, or I could find somewhere else to live that wasn't my father's house. So I decided to be a Mets and a Steelers fan, and here we are.
Gotcha. And I got to ask you, we always do it at the end of the show, but I want to ask you right now for your three-pack of picks in this game this Sunday. So who are you choosing this week? Who, with the spread, what teams are you going with?
I'm going against the conventional wisdom on a couple of these. Give me the Panthers over the Falcons plus 2.5. I'll take the Seahawks over the Vikings minus 7, and I'll go the Jaguars over the Texans plus 6. I think the Texans are going to have a hard time adjusting to Romeo Crennel as the new head coach. I think the Jaguars can take advantage this week.
All right. And any final words? Oh, I got to wish you a happy birthday because I know you recently celebrated a birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. And any final words before we let you go on this really weird kind of sports season that we've been undergoing?
Let's go Steelers.
There you go. Oh, and one other thing. We got a big game tonight in the NBA. Who are you choosing? Will the Lakers be able to close it out, or do we go to a game 7?
You know, if you had asked me at the beginning of the series, I would have said the Lakers in 6. But Jimmy has been pulling something out. I think the Heat are going to pull it out tonight.
Ah, so we will have that really good game 7. I like it. I'm pulling for a game 7. That should be really awesome. Ethan, we want to extend our gratitude for you for coming back on the show with us. You're welcome to call in anytime. We love having you back on the show, and hopefully the Steelers get a loss today.
Hopefully not. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Ethan. Tell your dad we said hi.
Will do.
All right. And, of course, that was Ethan Charlotte. He is a former, and, you know, I'd say a former member of the show, but
an
when you're a member
of
the show, you'll always be a member of the show. When
original
you're
member.
When you're part of Sports Skillet, you're always part of Sports Skillet.
He was an original member of Sports Skillet.
That's
right.
He goes
all the way back to the beginning.
That's right, a founding member of Sports Skillet. Absolutely.
Yes. And we all remember being down at that station down in Sewell, New Jersey.
Yep.
So that
WNJC?
Was, WNJC, and that was tremendous being down there and having him and Larry, Ethan's dad, as the four of us as part of the original
And don't forget
members.
Joshy. Josh Zaklis.
Don't
Zaklis.
Forget Josh, yes. It was tremendous. And then, of course, Kelly joined up. So.
Yeah, that's right.
But, Ethan goes all the way back to the beginning, and then he took off and got a degree, got a communications degree from Syracuse.
Which Very good I, which communications
I, which
degree.
I can't knock since that's my alma mater. So, you know, I have to say that, it's always proud to talk to a fellow Orangeman.
That's right.
But we will turn our attention now. Is Shane on with us, or do we have Shane or not? So is Shane there, or checking to see if?
I think we may have Shane. Let's see.
I just don't want to ignore Shane if he's actually on the line. So we'll just bear with us for 1 minute here as we check.
No, Shane is not on the line.
Shane is not on the line. Okay. So, but we'll turn our attention right now to the NBA for a couple of minutes. As Jay pointed out, that was a good segue with Ethan in terms of game six tonight. Phenomenal game five. I mean, I can't say enough. And you know what? This series, as the series has gone on, I've found myself rooting more and more for the Miami Heat, even though, obviously I'm a big LeBron James fan. What the Heat are doing is what the Heat have done in this series, and Jimmy Butler in particular, has just been phenomenal. I mean, you can't say enough for how competitive and Alex Spoelstra and what he's done as the coach of that team. He may be the best coach in the NBA, quite frankly, at this point. And he is just and that team has just been driven. And it's ironic to see Pat Riley, obviously, key member of the Heat front office to be rooting against obviously his old team in the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's kind of a side thing that's going on here when you see shots of Pat Riley is the fact that he's going up against his old team, and you got LeBron going up against his old team in the Miami Heat. So there's a lot of back and forth going on there between some of these players and some of these front office personnel with these two organizations. But I can't say enough for that game five and how it was just one of those great fourth quarters that you just sit back and you just watched as two guys just went almost a mano a mano. There were some other baskets obviously that were thrown in there, sprinkled in, but it was a lot of LeBron James. It was a lot obviously of Jimmy buckets, and he just continues to push that team. Jimmy buckets just continues to push that team through this series. And like Ian said, I wouldn't be shocked to see this game go seven. I would love to see the series go to seven games on Tuesday night. That would be a phenomenal thing just to see that. Again, like I said, as the series has gone on, I found myself rooting more and more for the Miami Heat based upon how well, how well and that Jimmy Buckets is playing this series. And now he has just taken on LeBron James, mano a mano.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic series. But here's the thing with the Miami Heat. They have to play somewhat of a perfect game in order to beat the LA Lakers. And will they be able to do that? Will Jimmy Butler be able to reach down once again and put forth that blood, sweat, and tears effort that he put forth? If he's able to do that, then the game will be closed. And he also gets the support of his teammates, and they drain baskets as well. Then the game will be close. But if not, if they relax at all or ease up at all off the gas, the Lakers are going to pull away and they're going to end the series. That's the difference between the two teams, I think.
Well, I think it's just Fanal, they've gotten to a game six after being down the way they were in this series at the beginning. You were kind of like, nah, this series is going to be a sweep. And they managed to push this game to a game six. So they've made this into a very competitive series. And they've driven LeBron to have to really earn this championship is what it comes down to. So if LeBron's going to do it, he is going to have to earn this title. And that's a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way. If LeBron does, in fact, come back and win this series, I wouldn't want it any other way, Jay. I would want to see LeBron have to come out and beat Jimmy Buckets, as I call him, at his very best. And right now, I haven't seen Jimmy play at this kind of level in his career. I mean, he's had some spurts in his career where he's played, you know, this kind of basketball, but never really at this kind of level where you just look at it and you say, geez, you know, he is really just pushing LeBron, you know, as far as LeBron can go in this series, and forcing the Lakers to have to do everything just to stay close in some of these games. And It's just fun to watch. I mean, it really is. The side game is you do have other players that are obviously helping LeBron and helping Jimmy on either side. But at the end of the day, both these players just want it so bad. You can just tell. And again, I will say this, and I agree that this is one of the hardest fought championships you're ever going to have in NBA history. I mean, whoever wins this championship is going to have a lot of bragging rights because it's been so hard. Just like what the NHL had to go through with the Stanley Cup and what they had to do with the quarantining, and then, you know, obviously going through all the playoffs and everything, being away from their families and doing all and just going through the months and all the games and everything put together. This championship to me will mean so much more than some of these than any other championship that you can win. And when people say, yeah, there'll be an asterisk next to this champion, you're darn right. And I agree that the reason there'll be an asterisk is that it will be the hardest fought championship ever won in NBA history. It really will be.
Yep, absolutely, Jeff. Couldn't agree with you more. I guess we should talk a little bit more about the NFL.
We haven't got into the NFL yet, and there are games going on. We had one postponement this morning, so there'll be no Patriots game. So no doubleheader tomorrow night, Jay.
No, and I'm kind of sad about that because I was looking forward to the doubleheader, but with the Patriots having yet another player come down with COVID ID and the facilities closed, it's the better part of valor to keep everybody healthy to close down the facility, take a step back, reschedule the game, not push it, and, as I said, make everybody healthy.
And the Jets had a scare earlier. Luckily, it was a false positive. So
yep.
The Jets are set to go, and Jets are set to play. So thank God for that. So, you know, like I said, the NFL is doing the same kind of thing. We've talked about this, you know, with Shane and so forth. The NFL right now, until they get to the playoffs, and I think it will be, you know, a bubble situation for the playoffs. I think the NFL will have no choice but to go to a bubble for the playoffs and go to some neutral sites here for the playoffs. But the NFL right now, just to get through all these weeks, and we're in early to mid-October, is they're going to be walking through a minefield here with all these games. Not that they didn't know it to begin with. So as far as the COVID goes, it's just, you know, trying to walk through and trying to avoid these landmines as far as players testing positive, and just making sure that everybody's following the right protocols.
Yep, and we got Shane back on the line. Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How's everybody down there?
Hey, Shane, how you doing?
Excellent, my man. Are you guys ready for today?
We are ready, Shane. Obviously, we just want to mention everybody that Shane tackles the hottest and most sizzling topics of the week. Always check out Shane's website, mentalizereformance.ca. Don't miss Shane's articles in USA Today, High School Sports and Train Magazine. And always give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all his events and podcasts. Shane, a lot to go over today. There's a lot to dissect. in terms of the NFL. In terms, we have three sports colliding here on a Sunday in early to mid-October. We have baseball with the playoffs. We have the NFL. But we also have some NBA tonight, Shane.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, boy, that was quite the game, and they took the foot off the gas, and I swear that you can't give the ball to Danny Green with less than a second to shoot a ball, man. That guy can't shoot. He shoots bricks.
What are they doing? I mean, it's just, you know, you kind of shake your head sometimes, Shane, as to, you know, who you put the rock in at those critical times of the game.
Well, I mean, look at it. They keep trying to play the comparison game to Michael. Well, Michael would have taken it and took the ball and threw it down the throats of everybody. But LeBron decides to dish it off. Take the shots.
That's LeBron. I mean, he likes to, you know, get everybody involved and to say, okay, you know, you take the shot instead of doing it himself. That's not true for Jimmy Butler, though.
No, and I'll tell you this, without Jimmy Butler out there rallying that team the way he is, I mean, the Heat wouldn't be where they are. There's no question about that. And the Heat are, they're in the zone with Butler out there. They got these vibes going. They got the everything happening. I mean, Jimmy is playing lights out, no question about that. He's doing everything that he has to do to keep that team and the series moving forward. And the Lakers are just scratching their heads going, what are we doing wrong? Like, we don't get this. We've got all the talent. We got the big boys. We got the big money makers out here, but we can't make the shots.
Exactly. And on the other side of the ball, you got that coach for Miami, Shane, that Eric Spoelstra. And you know what? For a guy who was seen as basically LeBron's stooge when they had the big three down there with Bosch and Wade and LeBron and those guys down there in Miami, you know, it's kind of like, okay, he's just a caretaker coach. Well, I think you're seeing right now, no, Spoelstra is a very, very good coach and maybe the best coach in the NBA right now.
Oh, you know, no, there's no question about it. You put him with Nurse as well, Toronto's head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they know their players. And this is the one thing that was brought up, actually, I think it was today that I actually heard this morning, was how Jimmy is relating to this coach of saying, listen, this is what I like, this is what I need, and what I want. And the coach is also saying the same thing. You know what? I agree with you. And they're very abrupt about it. They're very, you know, there's no hiding around the corner, nothing like this. It's like, this is how it is. This is what we need to do. And they're both on the same page. Now you're getting the rest of the team following it. They're following the process. And like I said, it's working for them. How far it goes, you know, do we get a game 7 after today? I don't know. You know what I mean? Because like I said, Jimmy needs some help out there with all his other guys. There's no question about that, to be consistent. And it's there. But I don't think Butler can play another 48 minutes plus. You know what I mean? He needs a little bit of a break as well at certain times. So, you know, I mean, if these guys can keep doing what they're doing, L.A.'s sitting back and they're getting frustrated because the shots are there. They miss so many shots, and they keep going for threes when you're not even hot. That's the worst part of it. You don't even have a hot hand, and you're shooting threes. Why?
And the funny thing is, Shane, right now, you look at that epicenter right now down in Florida. I mean, who knew that Tampa of all teams. I mean, you look at Miami, but if you look at Tampa right now, I mean, and I don't mean to segue to baseball too much, but they've already pocketed the Stanley Cup, as we know. Now they've obviously defeated the Yankees, and they're in the American League Championship Series, and they're making a run at trying to get Major League Baseball's crown. So all of a sudden here, you suddenly turn around, and you're looking at the state of Florida, and in particular Tampa, as being an epicenter here in sports.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, that would be probably, without a doubt, lights out if Tampa finds a way to win not only the World Series, Miami Heat wins the series, and you got the Lightning that just won the Stanley Cup. I mean, like, really? How you got a triple header like that? That would be incredible for that entire state. And definitely the odds makers and the bookies are just shaking their heads saying, please don't do that. But like I said, anything's possible. And kudos to them. I mean, really. They did a great job, especially in the bubble down there, and Tampa's doing a great job in heading into this playoff series and stuff like that. So, like I said, expect a lot of action down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah, and that series with the Yankees was just tremendous. I mean, when you look at the back and forth they had in that series, and then obviously the Game 5 was just tremendous with Garrett Cole and so forth, and the pitching that went into that, and then obviously, you know, yeah, Chapman, where have we seen that before, giving up a game-winning home run? So, but that's, you
I
know.
I want to get Joe's opinion on that.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say I'm too surprised that, once again, the Yankees let me down in the playoffs. But I will say, you know, Tampa was the better team. They deserved to win the series. Going into the series, I was hoping the Yankees won, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Tampa's going to win this. And as the series went on, I was very surprised we even took Game 1. So, you know, for the Yankees to take a team like Tampa, who they struggled with all year long, to a five-game series, you know, I'm impressed, but also at the same time, the Yankees, who constantly make the playoffs and don't have anything to show for it, it gets frustrating after a while. But in terms of the upcoming series, Tampa Bay and Houston going to be very interesting, because Houston played abysmally throughout the whole regular season, and I thought they were going to lose to the Twins. I thought the Twins were going to finally end their playoff drop, but, you know, the Twins are going to be the Twins. And the Astros have been hot. They beat the A's, who also have a history of blowing in the playoffs. So now they face a very good Rays team, very balanced, and against a very hot Astros team. And it's going to be a great series to watch. And personally, you know, I would rather that both of them not move on. Somehow I'll wait for the winner of the NL to decide who I want to win the World Series. But honestly, I just think the Rays are the better team right now, but you never know. Houston's hot. Being hot in the playoffs always helps.
I mean, and Shane, I wanted to get into this with you a little bit and just ask you a question. I mean, if you look at the Astros, obviously they're playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Everybody knows about their cheating scandal and all that's gone on in baseball. And the Astros in particular, obviously, have been affected by Dusty Baker, obviously, had to come in and manage the team down there in Houston. But if you look at that, I mean, from a mental standpoint, that chip can obviously play a big factor when you're going up against these clubs and saying, we'll prove it to you how good we are, because, you know, Altuve has not had any type of year. He has disappeared this season. I mean, he has done a disappearing act as far as the season goes. But, you know, I mean, the Astros say, hey, look, you know, we don't need Verlander, we don't need Cole, and we're still here, you know, in the American League Championship Series.
Well, yeah, there's no question about that. As well as the thing too is, they got to understand is, they can't let that pressure get to them from last year to this one. They can't be, you know, building too much on themselves if they want to actually demonstrate that, listen, we got here on our own, we will win this on our own, et cetera, right? So, I mean, there's a little bit of both, where they got a chip on their shoulder to prove everybody wrong, as well as they got the added pressure because of everything that has happened, who they are lacking and missing. So I do expect them to come out there and play the way they should play, which is a very strong, you know, team. There's no question about this. The thing is going to be if they get behind. If they start losing a couple of games here real quick, are they going to be able to bounce back from that, or is it just kind of like that's it? You know what I mean? So if they can stay in the mix and everything like that, it can be a great series, and I think they can handle that type of a pressure. But if they start falling behind too fast, I don't think they'll be able to play catch up.
And I think it's an advantage to them to be playing in San Diego, a neutral site with no fans out there in the stands. So that should help out the Astros in terms of not having to go on the road and play in Tampa with all the cowbells and all.
So exactly, right? Again, you know what I mean? Anything that basically doesn't give the other person a home field advantage right now is an A+. So I mean, yeah, you're going into a neutral zone and it's up for grabs. It doesn't matter. There's nobody around, anything like this. You just got to go out there and play your game. But like I said, Houston's got to play smart. They got to play smart. They got to play aggressive too in that pitching style and everything like this if they want to make it further in this series.
Do you want to see a Dodgers Astros World Series there, Shane? Is that what you're rooting for?
Well, that's a big buildup. That's what I guarantee you, everybody on the West Coast wants that. There's no question about this. So yeah, I mean, I think with this, the way this whole 2020 went, I think why not make something epic right at the end, right? Why not have the Astros against the Dodgers and let's battle it out that way, considering everything that's transpired. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. But again, I don't have anything against Tampa, who's done their job to get where they are, and they make it, they make it. I mean, really, they're a great team.
Well, they are, and, you know, there was this tweet out that, you know, Garrett Cole made more this year than the entire Tampa Bay lineup combined.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, that's it right there. That Garrett Cole's salary for this year was more than the Tampa starting lineup for Game 5 combined. So, yeah, that kind of tells you a little something about how Tampa just kind of finds those players. It's amazing how they find those players that they can pluck into that lineup and put in there and continue to have the success that they've had. That,
and I want to ask Joe, do you think Garrett Cole earned his salary this year?
Oh, definitely. You know, he had some hiccups with, you know, giving up some home runs, but it seems a lot some pitchers are having more hiccups with them as more home runs are being hit in general. But, you know, he was pitching off of only 3 days rest or something like that against in a game five. He gave five and a third innings. And he almost had that scare when he came into the sixth inning, and I thought Rosarino was going to hit that home run. And Gardner robbed it, but, you know, he had a great performance. He had a great performance in game one. You know, I think he earned whatever money he made this year. And, you know, I'm excited about having him moving forward. The Yankees still need another pitching piece. That was their weakness because obviously they had injuries to Paxton and Severino. And Severino coming back is going to be a plus, but Paxton I'm a little more iffy about. Like, he can be good sometimes, and other times he's just like he's easy to hit off of. So definitely look into starting pitching during free agency, maybe Trevor Bauer, maybe. But in terms of Garrett Cole, he definitely earned his money.
Well, I think he played. I don't have anything against Garrett Cole. I think he did tremendous in these playoffs, to be quite honest with you. I really do. And Shane, turning our attention to the NFL, obviously your Raiders have a rather big game today. I want to get your opinion on their game today against those, well, undefeated and somehow some people would say unstoppable Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good time. That's for sure. I'll say that. I mean, look at the Chiefs are playing right now the way they should be playing. They're on cue. They're doing everything right. They don't seem to have very many injuries or anything like this. I still think though that Mahomes is not quite on par as where he was last season right now. I think he's still working on some things. So
he's still working on things. That's scary considering, you know, how good the Chiefs have been.
I know, like I said, but it's been brought up a few times that, you know, I mean, he's missed a couple of opportunities on certain things. So it's almost like he's still trying to read the field at certain times. Now, that's what makes it even more scarier is that he's going to have even more things happening for him as the season moves on. But like I said, Derek Carr doesn't play good in Kansas either. It's a little chilly for him, I think. And as much as I like the offense of the Raiders, there's no question, but that defense is just a work in progress. They need a lot of help on certain things, and I got a feeling that Mahomes is going to figure out that way of picking them apart and just moving the chains, and then the frustration sets in. So, yeah, I see Kansas City taking this one, but like I said, I mean, Kansas City, though, is a team that's on a roll. There's no question about it, but I still think that there's more that Mahomes is going to be able to do. And that offense. And Andy Reid's a good coach. He's a smart coach. And defensively, he's got to make sure that he keeps his guys fired up because the last thing you want to do is be on this big roll and then all of a sudden, you know, take the foot off the gas and bam, some sleeper team comes in and beats you. And that's what you need sometimes, but I don't think they want to do it against the Raiders.
And I talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, but a lot of people, we've already gone through that with Ethan and, you know, Ethan Charlov and going through and dissecting that game. And there's not really much to say. I think, you know, we're all going to probably be on par saying that this is a game the Steelers ought to and should win. Let's talk about those Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, you know, they come into this game a little wounded, a little prideful, obviously, kind of with their tail between their legs at this point. So you kind of wonder right now about those Dallas Cowboys, but they kind of get a bye week here playing those New York Giants.
I don't think it's going to be a bye week.
Well, I want to get Shane's opinion on that.
I already know what Shane's going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the crazy part, though, is this, is that you got Prescott who's throwing, what, 400 yards almost every game?
In the fourth quarter. Like, he gets down by 30 points, though, to begin with.
Seriously, it is amazing of what he's able to do in that last quarter like that. And I'm just like, whoa. Now, defensively, though, they're getting stuck. They're getting stumbled. But, I mean, you are playing the Giants who have not really rocketed out of the gates in a very good way here. And, I mean, they're beaten up. They don't look very organized out there on many things and many plays. And, I mean, you could say, well, they're bashed, so we got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, it's always the next man up. And when you're going into week five already here, there's something that these guys need to do, and they need to step up their game. So I do see the Dallas finally saying, okay, we've got this one. Let's take it. Let's do our thing. I also think Zeke needs to get running a bit better too. I haven't seen him make explosion out of that backfield yet, and I think that's a big thing for this Dallas team. They need that 1-2 punch. They need that run game big time, and then he's got the weapons with Cooper and everybody like that up there. So I do think the Cowboys can pull this one off, but I just think that I don't know why Dak has to be so late and slow at getting going.
Joe, any hope for your Giants?
They haven't given me any reason to have any hope. You know, that offense is abysmal. They haven't scored a touchdown in two games, you know. They might score a touchdown against this Dallas defense, but I don't know. The defense, I will say for the Giants, I'm impressed with how they've been looking. They're actually looking a little stalwart out there when they're not on the field a million times. So, you know, maybe the defense can score a touchdown. I don't know.
All right, time to get to our three-pack of picks.
Let's get to our picks. Shane?
Let me give everybody the people's record here. We got Shane coming in at 4-5. Kelly is 2-7. I am 4-3-2. Alex is 4-2. Jeff, you are 6-3. And Joe, you are 1-2 going into this week. So, Jeff, real quick, we're running out of time on the show. Let's have your three-pack of picks.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns -1 over the Colts. I think the Cleveland Browns have really been showing me some things. I like those Cleveland Browns. I really do. I'm going to take the Rams +7. I like the Rams over Washington. I think that's an easy one. And, of course, I'll take an easy one, the Arizona Cardinals +7 over the Jets.
Okay, Joe, what do you got?
Well, I got the Panthers +2. I got them, you know, being that spread against the Falcons. I don't know why the Falcons are favored. You know, I don't know. I'm going to also – my plan also is to take the easy pick here, Cardinals over Jets here, -7. And I'm going against Jeff here. I got the Colts +1 over the Browns. You know, the Browns are playing good, but, you know, they're still the Cleveland Browns. I'm still waiting for them to screw up. If they don't screw up, good for them, but I'm taking the Colts.
Going up next, I've got to go with Steelers. Big bet against the Eagles. The easy one, 9-7 with the Steelers. I'm also going to go with Baltimore. I'm looking at the wrong game. I'm going to go with Joe here and pick the Colts as well against Cleveland. I feel like Baker Mayfield is hot on and off, and he's not going to have the same week he did last week going against the number one ranked defense in the league. And then my last team I'm picking is Jeff. I'm picking your 49ers. Garoppolo's back, man. His first start back. So I'm going to go with the 49ers -8 against the Miami Dolphins.
Okay. And let me give everybody Kelly's picks. Kelly is taking the Giants +8.5. She is taking the Bengals +12 and the Cardinals -7. So those are Kelly's picks for the week. As for myself, I'm going to take the Monday night game. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to take them +8 over the New Orleans Saints. I think the Chargers, Justin Herbert is coming on, so I am going to take that game. I am also going to take the Los Angeles Rams. -7 over the Washington Redskins. I know the Redskins have a good defense, but I am going to take the Rams there, and I am also going to take the Giants +8.5 over the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to say the Giants are going to keep it close enough with that bad Cowboy defense that if you take the points, it's going to help you over the edge and help you to pull it out. So those are my picks. And Shane, what do we got for you?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Seahawks by 6.5 over the Vikings. I think they can win by a touchdown. They are playing in Seattle. I also think that I'll take the Steelers over the Eagles by a touchdown, if not more. So sorry about that there, Jay. And then I got to finish off with the Cardinals over the Jets too, as well, by a touchdown. I think the Cardinals are going to win this one by 10 over the Jets.
Some interesting picks there. I like them. So those are our picks here at the Sports Skiller Radio Show. If you want to follow along, there you go.
And from our buddy Tim McMahon is just chiming in. I just want to give everybody the Eagles inactives for today, just so people are aware. Nate Sudfeld, Casey Tuhill, Ashon Jeffrey. When is he going to get on the field? I mean, really. DeSean Jackson, again, another inactive for DeSean Jackson. So he's still out. Avante Maddox, Jason Huntley, and Akeem Butler. So those are your inactives, Jay, going in against Pittsburgh. Best of luck without Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson.
Well, not surprising there. Alshon Jeffrey has just started practicing again, so they're working him back into game shape. So not a real big surprise that he's out for another week. DeSean Jackson, I mean, it's come up during the past week how good that contract was in bringing DeSean Jackson back, because since they brought him back, he's missed more games than he's actually played in. Good veteran guy to have on the team, but if he can't get on the field, what good is it to have him on the team, you know? So I know they've been really cautious about bringing him back, but still, you look at it, and that contract that they signed DeSean Jackson to doesn't seem to be working out. And as far as Alshon goes, who knows when, you know, I think he'll be back probably next week, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Sudfeld has obviously lost his backup job. I think we can say that safely now.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing Nate Sudfeld in any Eagles games. I mean, but if Carson gets hurt, Sudfeld could be the guy that comes in, and they could keep working in Jalen Hurts as a change of pace player, you know, either at the quarterback position or wide receiver, something like that. Because you have to pay, when Jalen Hurts is on the field, you have to pay attention to him.
Hey, I forgot to add one thing there. I know we got to go, but hey, how does Alex feel about his head coach being fired?
It was about time. It was only a matter of time before it happened. I mean,
well, will they win again? That's what it comes down to. Will they win again?
They'll win eventually. I don't know if they'll win this week. I have faith in them, honestly. I have faith. Jaguars are 1-3. Gardner Minshew struggles. DJ Chark's only outlook for the team. This has got to look out for one player, essentially. But
now, what about Romeo Crennel? Do you like him?
I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan of him as a defensive coordinator the other year. You know, missed assignments, wrong play callings, I would like to say. But, you know, Romeo Crennel will be in charge of a different aspect, so he could be better in the head coach position than I thought he was as a defensive coordinator.
Dysfunctional Texans.
Hey, as long as he, you know, brings a win to Houston and kind of settles everything down and, you know, figures out how to use certain players, I mean, I'm sure Texans fans will be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think Eagles fans better be worried, too, if they don't win tonight.
You know, they're going to have some tough games coming up, because I believe they have the Baltimore Ravens next week.
The Ravens, you got Seattle. The Eagles fans should stay worried. I say start Jalen. Might as well put Hurts in now. Let me get the reps in.
I concur. Have a good one, gentlemen.
Yep. Have a good one, Shane.
You're listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, cooking up all the hot takes. Jump in and join us at 609-919-9200. Download our app at sportskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for Sports Skillet. And remember to show us some love, like, follow, and share.